Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, 104.5 The Zone's nonstop sports talk continues with a look at Nashville's teams and at news around the nation from the lead writer of 104.5thezone.com. This is
The Big Six.
The Big Six with Jason Martin.
And here we go.
Here we go indeed. 6 o'clock by my watch means it's time for the one and only Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. Well, folks, there's only one Alabama running back with as memorable a rushing performance as we witnessed last night at Nissan Stadium. Just one. You may not remember this guy off the top of your head, but you will. He wore number 44. Allow us here on the Big Six to give you a trip down memory lane. Last night's performance, well, it was made for the big screen. It was magical. In fact, that dude, that number 44 Crimson Tide running back, he had a little movie made about him. Enjoy this.
Mariota in the gun, gives it to Henry at left guard, pounding and driving into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Derrick Henry with his sixth touchdown of the year.
What the hell is that?
And there's Forrest Gump, Coach.
Can you believe it? I got to go to college, too.
Mariota gives it to Henry. Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet. Big chase. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Titans. 99 yards. And the Titans are up by 11. What a run, Derrick Henry.
I'm going to tell you something. That was grown man run right there. He was not going down. That stiff arm was as beast a move as I've seen in the open field by a running back. That was outstanding. I said the offense needed to start to play up to their defense. They just answered right there.
I figured since they run this far, maybe I just run across the great state of Alabama. And that's what I did. I ran clear across Alabama. For no particular reason, I just kept on going.
Henry is back in at running back. Titans with a bunch set of three receivers tight to the right on first and 10 inside the 17 of the Jaguars. Give it to Henry at right guard. Booming forward. 10, 5, end zone! The Yulee Hornet! Touchdown!
When I got to another ocean, I figured since I've gone this far, I might as well just turn back, keep right on going.
At the 46-yard line after the fumble recovery, Henry at tailback. They're going to give it to the big man. He comes back to the right. He's got the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5, the end zone! 54 yards! Derrick Henry, touchdown, Titans. He nearly took that one all the way to Franklin.
I tell you, that's big man rolling right there. He can eat some stripes when he gets stretched out. That was beautiful.
11 carries, 219 yards, and 4 touchdowns. What a performance.
No, he's out running some real athletes, too. This defense, these people can run, not as fast as Henry right now.
When I got tired, I slept. When I got hungry, I ate. When I had to go, I went.
And so, you just ran.
Yeah.
Boy, did he run. Derrick Henry. Numbers that we're probably never going to forget in Nashville. 17, 238, and four if you need him. And it could have been more. This was one of the more enjoyable experiences I've ever had in person as at a sporting event. It was incredible. It was historic. It was just one of those where you knew you were watching something that was going to be indelibly imprinted on you for all time. So I'm going to take it from a different perspective, because I think that's what we do when we're on fire here on the Big Six, is we do come at this with an analogy that maybe you haven't heard before. And along with JT helping me put together that piece earlier today, and we'll play it again at the end of the show because I just think it's a lot of fun. Forrest Gump wore 44. Derrick Henry wore 22 last night. But in this job, meaning the one I do, there are ups and there are downs. Much of the time, it stems from being your own worst critic, and you've got these built-in insecurities that come on certain days. So let's say I do a month's worth of shows. Actually, let's back that up. Let's say I do 2.5 weeks of shows. That's 13 shows. Within that time span, there are going to be days where I think I've done a great show, where the takes are on point, where my energy's good, where my voice feels strong, no headaches, everything just clicking. I had good audio cuts. I'm hitting breaks properly. Everything's just rolling. Then there's going to be days where you guys out there might think the show was really good, but I'm driving home entirely unsatisfied. I just didn't have it in my own head. Takes weren't hitting like I wanted them to. Tripped over a few words, repeated some words, which drives me insane, and I do it a lot. Or I just simply didn't feel crisp. Maybe the callers weren't that good and I let them drone on and on. Or maybe I just didn't get that many calls. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not. But you do like to have some level of interaction, even if you don't necessarily go to the calls you ask for if they're lined up. But there are shows you drive home afterwards and you just feel like, yeah, you know, I know how to do this job, but that wasn't anything to write home about. I should have done better than that. Depending on what it is I'm going for in a given day, my metrics for success doing this job can really vary. Sometimes I really want to talk to you and I want to bring you into the conversation for the entire hour. Sometimes I feel like letting you listen to me bloviate for a full hour, whether you agree with me or not. It's the same thing with writing. And usually I'm wrong about the good and the bad of my own performance or my own product. Inevitably, the review or the piece that I type up and don't spend maybe as much time on, don't really see being anything noteworthy. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good, but not one you'd expect your mother to frame. That's the one that gets the most reaction and the most praise. Many times the article I put out there that I'm over the moon about when I publish it goes over like passing gas in a Sunday pew. But again, 13 days of radio, maybe 2/3 of them go pretty well. Maybe just half feel right. Maybe it's a downtime and I just don't have the story out there to sink my teeth into the way that I want. Well, I want you to stop and I want you to apply that exact same logic to Derrick Henry's 2018 Titans season. Because 2.5 weeks of shows is what he's played. He's played 13 games. Until last night, he had not had that A-plus Marconi Award winning role, that winning performance. He definitely had his bad shows. He definitely had those days where nobody's calling in and nobody's tweeting and there's tech problems and the mic's cutting out and there's power outages. And he's behind a microphone running 8 times for 30 yards, which is exactly what he did against the Texans in Houston. A few weeks beforehand, he ran it 11 times for 58 yards. So that day he gets a good caller. He's able to read some tweets that make sense on air, has a decent crop of news to pick from. Maybe there's a coach hiring or something like that. Maybe there's a bad loss for the local team. So he averaged 5.3 yards per carry behind the mic on that day. And then came last night, where the synergy between Derrick Henry, the radio host, his audience, and his God-given talents were all perfect. And then there's the competing radio station that's approaching a format change. They've been trying to fight you in the ratings. They are, you know, clawing after you as much as they can, trying to get up to your level, but it just continues to flop. And so they've begun to think, maybe it's time we go adult contempo. Maybe we try out Michael McDonald and Michael Bolton instead of talking about Michael Jordan. We're getting trucked. Our program director's not good. We have no recognizable star in the prime position. We got nobody in afternoon drive. We got nobody in the mornings. Nobody's listening to us. And that is the Jacksonville Jaguars team Derrick Henry ran into last night. It's the Jags team he ran into. It's the Jags team he ran past. It's the Jags team he ran through. And yes, it's the Jags team he ran over. These boys were already looking for a reason to quit. 22 gave them their reason. They didn't have a Howard Stern. They didn't have a Rush Limbaugh. They didn't have an Opie. They didn't have a Ryan Seacrest. They certainly didn't have a Jonathan Hutton, a Brent Doherty, a Mark Howard. They had no quarterback. They're rudderless. The guys underneath are talking a lot, but they've lost the thread that made them successful originally. They are done. They walk around with mirrors in front of them, meaning they only care about themselves. There is no team. And Derrick Henry, feeling it, used both the talent he's had all along, combined with their collective apathy and disinterest, which you could see from the very first second of that football game, and put forth one of the greatest singular performances in NFL history, unquestionably the best we've ever seen here. Did Derrick Henry, the radio program last night that won him new listeners. He had the radio program that pushed his numbers up, and it may have changed how he's perceived in the marketplace. He was trending a little bit in this direction over the past few weeks. If you saw him running, he was running differently. My buddy Mark Mariani said on Monday Night Titans after the Los Angeles Chargers game in London that he saw something different in Derrick Henry in the second half of that game. He saw a guy that was running with purpose. But there was still something missing. See, Derrick Henry didn't have that primary complaint. He didn't have that Monday morning facial or that 5 o'clock reset or that extra gear in a radio show that takes one from being just decent to a must listen. This was the perfect storm for Derrick Henry. So as we go to our first break, here's the thing. And it's important to talk about this. That was history, and it was unreal, and it was so fun to see. And Derrick Henry is such a good dude from every indication. Just seems to be a really nice human being. And now there are people that are going to be paying attention to Derrick Henry that weren't yet. He caught lightning in a bottle. There's a famous quote that says, that only happens once if you're lucky. So, and this goes for the Tennessee Titans as a whole, that was awesome. Granted. Now what? That's the question we're going to ask next. How would you answer it? 615-737-1045. What did Henry's performance say to you? What did the team's performance say to you? What does it mean? Is it a trend? Was it one great episode to be followed by the same old, or did something truly change last night? 737-1045. We continue next, rolling along on a Friday, the Big Six on 104.5 The Zone. It is the Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone, finishing out the week. I'm Jason Martin, your host. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. To join us, 615-737-1045. 17 carries, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns. Thrashing of the Jacksonville Jaguars led by Derrick Henry's historic night here in Nashville and the 99-yard touchdown run. I compared it to my job or anybody working in media, especially people that work in radio, as to what that performance is compared to the rest of Derrick Henry's season. And I've got one other thought about this that I want you to keep in mind as well. To those that are calling up saying Derrick Henry needs a bunch of carries. But let's take some calls. Eric in Nashville leads us off. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I really feel like there's a t-shirt in the near future, 17-238. And I think everybody around would jump on board with that. But, you know, as far as he had that in him, the question is, what happened? What brought it out? Did he get included more? Did he put in the extra effort, or did a light bulb go off and say, you know, I got to start doing something, you know, regardless if I'm here or not for the future? as far as what next, I think that's a question that we ask after we beat the Eagles, after we beat Dallas and then went on and demolished the Patriots. I think the key word of what we're looking for and what should be next is consistency and win out and hope that we get some losses in our favor and get us where we need to be and get hot for the playoffs. And I'll hang up and listen what you think.
Appreciate it, Eric. I did not know Decepticons were Titans fans. We got that tonight. No, that was just his phone. But, I mean, you're right. The only thing consistent about this team, I've said it half the season at least, is the inconsistency of this team, which is why even though you should beat the Giants, you're better than the Giants. You should definitely beat Washington when they come here. Who knows if Mark Sanchez is still going to be upright by that point. And then comes Andrew Luck, and that's what it's going to come down to. You should be 9-6 with Andrew Luck coming here, with the possibility of making the playoffs. I don't know if it's going to play out for you. Denver has the easiest schedule left in the league, and they have tiebreakers over you. They lost Emmanuel Sanders this week. They also lost Chris Harris this week. They've lost Jeff Heuermann and two offensive linemen all just this month. It's been a brutal stretch for the Broncos, but their schedule is favorable. Baltimore, if they keep winning, well, they have a tiebreaker over you, and they shut you out. You lost to Miami. They're still in the hunt. I think they're going to fall off. But that's a loss that might hurt you. The Buffalo loss is assuredly going to hurt you. One of the wild cards is going to either the Chargers or the Chiefs, a game that we're going to see 6 days from now on Thursday Night Football. A great football game that should be. But that's right. One thing that the Titans have not done well is handled success very well. After they beat the Eagles, well, we saw what happened. After they beat the Patriots, yeah, we saw what happened. Now you're in a situation where you're again above 500 at 7-6. Schedule's favorable. Good teams. Teams on the come up. Beat the brakes off of bad teams. They take the inferior, and they make sure that the inferior recognizes that they're inferior after that game. So you go to New York and you handle your business. Richard in Westmead. Richard, what's up?
Well, I agree with everything you just said, for one thing. But the other thing is, I do think if you, as a lot of it has to do with, as you said, with radios, with timing with Henry, if he, after he had the great run, he lost 5 yards on one carry, lost a yard here, he made a yard there. If he had done those runs instead of the 95-yard run, that would have been the end of him. And I just don't think that he's been given an opportunity to excel this year.
And you know, that is a common refrain, and that's the other thing that I wanted to get to, and I have a couple of numbers in front of you. But I've heard people say it today, and I expected it last night. All of you did, I'm sure. You've heard people talking about how this is what we've been saying all season long. You give Henry the ball a lot, and he's going to do this. He doesn't get enough carries. He should be running it 25 times a game. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that would be great, except it's a totally inaccurate argument based on the facts. Henry had over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns last night in 11 carries. Remember, he only finished with 17 total rushes last night. He was used maybe just a little more, but not very much differently than he has been most of the season. And these are the numbers that I had already written down. Here are all 13 of his attempt numbers for the season. 10. 18, that was with Blaine Gabbert, so we saw Henry in the Wildcat in that game against Houston. 18 against Jacksonville, again, quarterback problems. And then 8, 11, 7, 12, 6, 11, 9, 8, 10, and then last night, 17. Now, he was used a little more last night, but much of the reason I would say he succeeded last night was that he succeeded last night with what he was given. He had the chunk yardage, the 54, the 99. He ended up with great stats and great numbers, but it didn't come on 30 carries. It didn't come on 25 carries. It didn't even come on 20 carries. So I want you to keep in mind that it wasn't that he had this gigantic part of the offense all night. It was that he made the most of his reps. This NFL, meaning the 2018 NFL, is far different than the NFL of the past. This is a passing league. Running backs largely have become both replaceable and incredibly risky to take early. All you got to do is look at Philip Lindsay in Denver. Undrafted free agent rookie, 4th in the league in yards. highest yards per attempt in the NFL right now at 6.1. There's just not many Ty Gurley's and Zeke Elliott's and Saquon Barkley's out there. And you can find guys to do major damage later on in the draft. So Henry did, he made the most of his opportunities. He didn't have 40 carries last night. What was so extraordinary about his yardage total was that he did it on so few carries. Nobody had done it, anything like that, in under 20 carries. He was over 200 with four touchdowns and 11. No one had done that in less than 22. That was what was so impressive about it. It was how efficient he was, how effective he was. It wasn't attrition. It was efficiency. Chuck in Clarksville next. Chuck, how are you?
Hey, Jason. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the league as a total this year, it's just been an inconsistent year on everything. Injuries have racked up all over the place. But, you know, as far as Derrick Henry goes, I mean, you're right. It's the execution of what he's been given, and not maybe so much him as it is maybe some of the offensive line execution. Last night, they were great. Overall, when you look at it, they were opening up holes. They were, you know, they were cutting the people off the edges. They gave him the opportunities to bounce it out and get those plays. And they haven't been doing that. And, you know, everybody's talked about the offensive line. And so execution overall was the reason that a lot of his success last night. But you've got to take, he's a heck of a talent. He's just, I mean, you know, he's like everything else. He's just, his confidence is going to have to be there to get those big runs like that. When he gets them, you know, look out. He may run off two or three more. You know, look at Kansas City game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Colts game last year.
Yep.
You know, toward the end of the season, he was mocking these runs off like that because the offensive line was giving him holes and giving him confidence to make those runs.
Well said, Chuck. Appreciate the phone call. 615-737-1045. 737-1045. If you want to join the program tonight, what next? After you saw that, now what? When it comes to Derrick Henry, when it comes to the offensive line, we haven't even mentioned the fact that the defense kept him in the game against the Jets. Held him to field goal after field goal after field goal. Didn't give up a touchdown in that game. Gave Mariota the chance at that game-winning drive to Corey Davis with the touchdown pass. And then last night, the defense was extraordinary. The only touchdown that we saw from Jacksonville is one that should have been overturned. And somehow was not. The defense has been spectacular, especially over the last couple of games. They had a few where they struggled against Andrew Luck. They struggled on Monday Night Football against Deshaun Watson in that offense. But they're coming back around. 615-737-1045. Mike and Rick will lead off with you next. Derrick Henry, what does this mean? Was it a blip? Or is that dude about to become a star radio host? We'll be right back. Big 6, 104.5 The Zone. Childish Gambino, saw him on Sunday at Bridgestone after the Titans eked out that win against the Jets. This is the Big 6 here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Jason Martin, your host. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for lending me your ears. And if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, do that. Head to Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, however you want to consume this show, whenever you want to consume this show, 24/7, 365, you can do it. Subscribe to the Big 6 with Jason Martin. Subscribe to Zone Podcasts. Get everything that we're doing around these parts. 615-737-1045. Back to the phones. Rick in Hendersonville, how are you?
Hey, doing fine.
Hey, bud.
I'm the guy that used to call Derrick Henry the Marshmallow Man.
Okay.
And Dancing with the Stars candidate. Nothing has really changed in my mind other than he did get lucky on that first run. And if you go back and you look at it, I think the hole was supposed to be to the left. He started that way. He moved back to the right. He didn't get hit, though. Then he moved back to the left, found a crease. Once he broke it open, he turned into Hercules. I mean, knocking down pillars, one after one after one. Those defensive backs, and I've said it before, they're scared of him. They don't want anything to do with him. And that, I think, is the way he ended up having the game of his life. One of the best running games that the Titans have ever produced. But going back to listening to everybody say he needs the carries, he needs the carries, totally agree with you, J-Mart. When did he do this? On his second carry of the game.
Yep.
I think Derrick Henry, it's all in his head. He's had a very positive past against the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into that game thinking, I've had a good past with these guys. Let's see what happens. I don't think it was the offensive line. I think it was Derrick Henry and his mindset. And my hat is off to him. Now it's what happens going forward. The man's a beast.
Yep.
He can be. And we finally saw it last night. So if progression takes place, I'm going to be the biggest Derrick Henry fan, you know, in Nashville.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone, Rick. I don't agree with everything that you said there, but I agree with some of it. I do think that the offensive line was great last night after not being very good at all for a couple of games before that. I thought that they did create space for him, but a lot of the heavy lifting was done by 22 just in terms of some of the stiff arms. I mean, Madden, EA Sports, took his stiff arm from an 82 where it was 24 hours ago to a 99 in the game. If you update the game, you will see that because of what he did last night. But you are right. He's had a lot of success against the Jaguars. I don't think it's in his head. I don't think he goes into the game and says, I'm going to run for 1 yard a carry, or I'm going to lose yards every time I touch the football today because I'm playing against X defense or Y defense. I do think that I don't think it's a confidence thing with Derrick Henry. I don't think that it ever necessarily was. But the question will be asked, what's he going to do? What's going to be the follow-up performance? What's going to be the encore? The Avengers was good. Age of Ultron, not so good. Age of Ultron needs to be good against the Giants next Sunday. Emmanuel in Nashville next. Emmanuel, how are you? Emmanuel, going once. And gone. Daniel in Nashville, how are you? Daniel, you there? We're doing poorly right now. Mike in Manchester, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, Mike.
Hey, two things I think I saw last night. Everybody can agree that that was one of the greatest games to sit down and just thoroughly enjoy. It was fantastic.
No doubt.
What I saw from everybody on that team, offense, defense, everybody, fundamentally, it was a great game. Extra effort was put in. People hit one another, and they kept moving. Derrick Henry, he did that. His 99-yard run, you see it. Replay after replay after replay. He hit, he kept moving. He kept moving. He hasn't done that all season. Other players on the team, same thing. And the other big thing that we have done in the last game and a half, we opened up the field. We opened up passing, throwing that ball down the field, gets the defense on the toes. That opens up the front of the line for Derrick Henry to make runs like that because they're not just stuffing them in on the line every single play.
I don't disagree with some of what you said either. Look, there's going to be subjectivity behind any opinion, but when it comes down to it, there was a better semblance of a game plan last night than what we saw in the first three quarters 4 days before in the same building against a hapless Jets team. This wasn't a hapless Jags team, but it was a team that just needed a little bit of space in which to retire and quit and start thinking about vacation and the offseason. They've been done for a month. They knew Bortles wasn't the guy. Jags made an awful decision, and their window may have been 1 year. Literally 1 year. Last night, in the press box, 20 feet away, to my left, was Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin was just in the general populace of the press box, slamming his fists down on the table. I was wondering where all these F-bombs and these curse words were coming from. Then you look up, it's Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin cared. He cared a lot about everything that was going on. I don't know that there was anybody else wearing a Jaguars uniform, maybe not even on the sidelines outside of a couple of those coaches, that cared a whole lot about what was going on. the eyes and the demeanor of that team from the get-go of that football game just screamed disinterest. And the Titans tried to let him back in with that Batson play, which I don't even know what to say, and a really bad interception from Marcus Mariota that killed a drive that looked like it was going to result in seven, and that would have effectively ended the game, I believe, also. So they tried to leave him in it, and then Derrick Henry, once they got that stand, once Rashawn Evans made that fantastic play, and they were able to stop the Jags after they had an eight-minute drive that resulted in 0 points, and then Henry took their soul with the 99-yard run, then it was a total wrap. But the Jags were just as happy probably to watch that 99-yard run as anybody else because they just wanted an excuse because they have absolutely no heart right now. Emmanuel is back. Emmanuel, what's up?
Hey, how you doing tonight, brother?
Good.
One thing I was just wondering is like Jalen Hurts, Derrick Henry, Rashad Evans have all been put on the bench for somebody who everybody thinks is better than them at certain times. But when the game is on the line, all these Alabama players come and show up and show out. And what it means to me is that when you really care about your team, which is what football is about, you will be very, very successful. Derrick Henry wanted Deion Lewis to get the last touchdown.
Yep.
I mean, if it was me, the type of guy I am, I would want the fifth touchdown myself. But for him to, you know, set a pathway for Deion Lewis to get the touchdown, after he had already done so many good things, rushing records and all these other things, that just says something for his type of character. And I hate Alabama because I am a UT Vols fan. I'm from here, but I will say this. Those Alabama boys, they are always ready. They are always clutch, and they will always show up when you need them to. That's all I got to say. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Emmanuel. One thing I tweeted out last night because I was thinking about it. If you're somebody that's worn number two and played at Alabama for Nick Saban, you've had a pretty good week. We saw what Jalen Hurts did on Saturday against Georgia in the SEC championship game. Derrick Henry wore number two in Tuscaloosa as well, and we saw what he did. And those are two guys who had taken their share of criticism after a tremendous amount of success, who persevered, who did not ever try to excuse virtually anything, who stuck around and waited for an opportunity, and in the same week, basically, the same in terms of duration, the same like 5-day span, all of that hard work, that perseverance, and I'm sure there was some negativity at times, but they didn't let it get them down enough. They just kept plugging away, and it paid off. Jalen Hurts wins the SEC championship game in large form for Alabama, and Derrick Henry goes off last night in the Music City. We got one more segment coming up. I'll take Mike's phone call and thoughts on the Heisman. Plus, if you missed the top of the show, another Alabama running back. We'll play that audio for you again. You'll like it. This is a Big Six on 104.5 The Zone. Final segment of the Big Six here tonight on 104.5 The Zone. Thanks for joining me. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. Ryan Albany on the glass spin of the Dolls radio style for me. Derrick Henry said last night about wanting Deion Lewis into the game late. We both got to eat. I want to see him get a touchdown. I got four. I just care about my teammates. And when he was asked about his record-setting night, he mentioned the offensive line almost immediately. There are me guys out there, and we don't know a lot of these guys like we think we do, and we find out things down the line, and they make mistakes, and then they get second chances sometimes, and people go on social media and they say negative things about them, sometimes to prop themselves up or to make themselves feel good. I've never heard anything I don't like from Derrick Henry or about Derrick Henry. Not at Alabama, not with the Titans. When he won the Heisman, his speech was fantastic. We're going to play the what we led off the show with to end the show tonight. Only one other Alabama running back had the kind of night we saw from Derrick Henry last night. And so we put together something we think you'll like. But I just mentioned the Heisman. Let's talk about that for just a minute. For the first time in a long, long time, I think there's actually legit drama this year behind who wins the Heisman Trophy in New York tomorrow night. I believe Dwayne Haskins deserves more consideration than he's getting. He had a just incredible season at Ohio State. He's third behind Tua and Kyler. Murray has played far more snaps, over 700, not more, but he's played over 700 snaps this year, far more than Tua, with the lack of fourth quarter action for Tagovailoa and these blowouts and a couple of the injury things that have knocked him out too. Here are a couple of numbers for you, though. Pass efficiency rating, Kyler Murray 205.7, Tua Tagovailoa 202.3. Baker Mayfield last year was the first to ever break 200. He was 203.7, including the final bowl game. Both of these guys have a chance to eclipse his record. Kyler is the first guy to ever enter bowl season with an average of 300 passing and 60 rushing yards per game. He's got 3.9 total touchdowns per game, Tua 3.2. Murray, a 70.9 completion percentage, Tua 67.7. Kyler has been 79.2 in completion percentage four times this year. Tua's only done it once. Kyler Murray, 380.4 yards of offense total per game he's accounted for. Tua, 272.5. Tua, 37 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Purely with numbers, Kyler's numbers are better. But I'm still leaning towards Tua Tagovailoa. I am not going to be upset in any way, either way this goes. They're both more than worry. And they're both more than worthy as well. I don't penalize Tua for less time spent on the field and for a defense that actually stopped the opposition and led to these blowouts, which meant he didn't have to finish these games. But I'm going to look back to Baker Mayfield last year and how great he was under Lincoln Riley in that offense. And compare that with the litany of game managers and occasional playmakers that we've seen at quarterback for Nick Saban at Alabama through the years. They'd make plays here and there. Generally, they were game managers. This offense completely changed with Tagovailoa back there. Kyler Murray, I've seen Oklahoma quarterbacks go off. I've seen that in the Big 12. That dude is the Heisman winner in virtually any year except this one. I don't think you can look at Tua against Georgia and then say that lost him the trophy. How exactly? He was almost a shoe-in for almost everybody beforehand. There's no doubt he was hurt in that game. He'd been banged up all year long. Oklahoma hasn't played a defense even in the vicinity of Georgia, certainly not of LSU, just as a few examples. Now, Kyler can't help that. He beat the brakes off of any defense he faced, but he didn't face any. If Murray takes it home, and he well might, even with Tua winning the Maxwell last night, I'll stand and applaud. He's great. He's efficient. He's dominant. But if I had a vote, I would go with Tua. This is a year where I hate only one guy can win because both deserve. And honestly, I barely mentioned Haskins, and he was truly outstanding. It's as good a top three as we've seen. They all deserve tons of praise. Only one can win, and because he altered what Alabama needed to win, it wasn't as much the run, it wasn't as much the defense as it had to be in the past. That's why I give him the nod. The eye test plus the numbers, Murray is right there. I give the slightest of edges to Tagovailoa. But this show and this day, just like last night, all about Derrick Henry. If you missed what we did off the top of the show, only one other Alabama running back in history had the kind of night Derrick Henry did. We put together a little montage for you. It was made for the big screen. In fact, it already happened. Enjoy.
Mariota in the gun. Gives it to Henry at left guard. Pounding and driving into the end zone. Touchdown! Titans! Derrick Henry with his sixth touchdown of the year.
What the hell is that?
And there's Forrest Gump, Coach.
Can you believe it? I got to go to college, too.
Mariota gives it to Henry. Henry bounces it outside. 5, 10, 15, stiff arm. 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm. 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet. Big chase. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Titans! 99 yards! The longest run in franchise history! And the Titans are by 11. What a run, Derrick Henry.
I'm going to tell you something. That was grown man run right there. He was not going down. That stiff arm was as beast a move as I've seen in the open field by a running back. That was outstanding. I said the offense needed to start to play up to their defense. They just answered right there.
I figured since they run this far, maybe I just run across the great state of Alabama. And that's what I did. I ran clear across Alabama. For no particular reason, I just kept on going.
Henry is back in at running back. Titans with a bunch set of three receivers tight to the right on first and 10 inside the 17 of the Jaguars. Give it to Henry at right guard. Booming forward. 10, 5, end zone! The Yulee Hornet! Touchdown! Titans!
When I got to another ocean, I figured since I've gone this far, might as well just turn back. Keep right on going.
At the 46-yard line after the fumble recovery, Henry at tailback. They're going to give it to the big man. He comes back to the right. He's got the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5, the end zone. 54 yards. Derrick Henry. Touchdown. Titans. He nearly took that one all the way to Franklin.
I tell you, that's big man rolling right there. He can eat some stripes when he gets stretched out. That was beautiful.
11 carries, 219 yards, and four touchdowns. What a performance.
No, no, he's out running some real athletes, too. This defense, these people can run. Not as fast as Henry right now.
When I got tired, I slept. When I got hungry, I ate. When I had to go, you know, I went.
And so you just ran.
Yeah.
Indeed, he ran. 17 carries, 238 yards, four touchdowns. What a night for Derrick Henry. What a night for Nashville sports fans. Just an incredible, incredible evening to sit and enjoy that. Hopefully you enjoyed it with your families, enjoyed it with people you care about. That's the way sports is best consumed. Derrick Henry saluted the crowd chanting his name last night. We salute you back, 22. That was scintillating. Hard work, determination. It does pay off, kids. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. God bless and good night.